Let us begin. A good Chodesh, Rish Chodesh Shvat this evening. Rav Elie Lapian says a beautiful idea. In the way it is in the world, in different professions, they have their different times. They have their seasons where they can hope for better success. If one is a pediatrician, so they expect that in the in the winter time, they will see more patients, more little children will be sick and come see the doctor. If one is an accountant, so around April time, he knows there will be an influx of business and it will be his good season. If one sells real estate, so then in the springtime, they are of greater hope that they will be able to sell the homes. And so it is the way in the world of Ruchnius. In the spiritual world, it is like that as well. We know that when do we really get into a mode of tshuva, and that is, of course, Elul in the times of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we have real simcha that comes in the time of Sukkot, and we want to really infuse and imbue ourselves with the proper emunah and faith in Hashem. We have the times of Pesach, and that the Torah is divine. We use the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And this period of time that we are traversing in these weeks, particularly these 6 weeks, which start with the parsha of Shemos, Shemos va'era bo b'shalach yisro mishpat, in these 6 weeks, spell the word shovavim. And we're told by the Shalach HaKadosh and others, they have revealed to us this depth of Torah thought, and that this time, these 6 weeks, while we learn the parshias of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ten Makos, the plagues, the Exodus, and finally receiving the Torah Mount Sinai, it's an opportunity to plug into this time and have shovavim, have tshuva. But not the same sort of tshuva where we bang al chet and we have remorse and mention sins that we have done and committed, but it's a different sort of tshuva. It's a tshuva to get a different perspective on life, get a different perspective on ourselves. That sort of tshuva. That's the weeks of Shovavim. Shemos va'era boi b'shalach Yisrael mishpatim. And indeed, it's from the learning and from going into the depths and some of the, really the insights of the great thinkers over the centuries to try to get a better understanding, maybe a new idea to try to take out of the whole episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Be'ezer Hashem, we will try to attempt that this evening, to try to get somewhat of a deeper understanding of what was going on with the 10 plagues and how it really connects with a lot in history that Hashem had done and will do, and how it connects to us on a personal level. We call it the Eser Makos, we call it the 10 plagues. The 10 plagues that took place in Mitzrayim. In the Mishnah, interestingly, in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah in Perikais calls it the Asara Nisim, Na'as Al Aviseinu B'Mitzrayim. And of course, there's no contradiction, but to the Egyptians, there were punishments, there was retribution to the Egyptians who had oppressed us for over 2 centuries, and therefore it was this Eser Makos, for them it was plagues. Hashem was punishing Paro and his slay his servants, Paro and his people. And for Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, what we observed, almost the entertainment that we had for on the 12 months that the 10 plagues transpired, for us they were miracles. As many of the Makos, the Psukim themselves, relate that there was a distinction, there was a separation. Where the Makkah went, where the plague went, the wild beasts swarmed only in the boundaries of the Egyptians and didn't go into Goshen. And the blood affected, of course, only the Egyptians and not the Jewish people. So for there were the Eser Makos, but for us they were Asara Nisim. It was punishment, but at the same time it was Hashem's way of displaying miracles for us to see. And Rashi really tells us this in Parashas Va'era. He says, I know Paro is not going to listen, and all of the plagues, all of the threats that I give to him are going to be futile, Hashem says. And I'm just doing it in order for those that can listen and those that will have the ears and the eyes to see and hear what I'm doing, they will be able to take a lesson from it. Hashem says, and for that, it's worth it for me to do all of these fantastic miracles. A question that's asked is why Hashem needed 10 plagues. Even if it was going to be miracles, even if it was not just to push Pyro against the wall, certainly if it was for that reason, Hashem could have just done one plague. Take any of them. Take the plague of boils, Shechin. Moshe Rabbeinu throws up ashes to the heaven, miraculously it scatters over the entire Egypt, comes down and burns on contact, and all of the animals out in the fields and all of the people get boils on themselves. Blisters. How long did it last? 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Okay, Sarah, I'll let them out. The plague goes away. Ah, you didn't listen, right? You changed your mind. Boils again. Not 3 weeks, 4 weeks now. How long will he take it? 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Everyone has their breaking point. We know Pyro really had his breaking point early, and Hashem says, but I'm going to continue my work and harden his heart, that it'll be so difficult for him to do tshuva. So if it was for the point just to let him free, let my people go, certainly one or two or three makos would have been sufficient. You want to make it a little dramatic, you want to get a little diversity, three, four, why 10? Why that number? Why 10 makos and why not 20? Right? If you want to do such magnificent miracles, why not 20? What's the number 10 all about? Now this question really parallels a different question which the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos asks. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perikei again, says, Ba'asara ma'amoros nivra ha'olam. With 10 statements, 10 proclamations, 10 sayings, Hashem created the world. Says the Mishnah, Ma tamud leimar, ba'alai b'maymer echod yachli baris. Really, Hashem could have created the world with one statement. Hashem just has to say, it will be, and the world comes into existence. Why did Hashem do it in 10 different statements, 10 different stages? And the Mishnah answers, Ella, the reason is, Kedei liparam en harishayim, shema'avden es ha'olam, shenivra ba'asara ma'amaros. It's in order to punish the wicked who destroy a world that was created in 10 sayings. Which world did they destroy? Says the main commentary in the Mishnah of the Bar Tanura, they destroy themselves. Every Jewish person is a world unto himself. As we know, the Chazal tell us, the Gemara says, "Kolam akayim nefesh achas biYisrael kiilu kiyim oylam ole." If you save one soul, it's you saved the whole world. And kolam ha'abed es nefesh achas kiilu nechrav olam. So, what world is this person destroying? Himself. He is an entire world. And Hashem says, to punish the wicked, because I've created a world that was done in 10 statements, 10 stages. And then it's also lidin tzadikim. Lidin schar tevlat tzadikim shemekayim in olam shenivra ba'asara ma'amoris. So what's the explanation of that? Because Hashem sort of took more time, it was more of a bother in Hashem. You know, I took all this time, 10 different statements. It takes about 30 psukim in the Torah. That's why Hashem is going to punish. And that's why He'll give reward to the righteous, because it was more dramatic. What's the idea? What is the Mishnah answering? The Mishnah says it could have been done with one statement. Instead, it was done with 10 for punishment reasons and for reward reasons. So in order to understand this, not only properly, but in order to appreciate it in the proper fashion, in a most palatable way, so we need to develop it. I can give you the end concept in 5 minutes, but in order that it should be tasty, in order that the concept should be delicious, let's go through it slowly. I mean, I'm sure you can make a fruit salad. You just buy a few cans that have canned fruits and it's in syrup already. You just open all them up and dump them into a bowl and you have a fruit salad. And it probably doesn't taste the same as if you buy fresh fruit, you peel each one, you put in special spices, and special syrup, and ingredients. It takes more time, it's more effort, but it certainly tastes better. So let's try to make the fruit salad together and try to bring out the point over here. The Chedushi Harim, who was the first Ger Rebbe, answered this question of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make 10 plagues. And why wasn't enough with 1 or 3 or 15? He answered very cryptically. He said that each one of the 10 plagues revealed one of the 10 sayings that Hashem created the world with. And then that turned into the Aseres HaDibros, the 10 commandments. His grandson, the Sfas Emes, explained his enigmatic words and developed the following thought. And we're going to bring other sources in to try to understand the words of the Sfas Emes explaining this answer of the Chiddush Harim. Why 10? Because each one of those 10 plagues were peeling off, were revealing another layer, another aspect of Hashem's statements that he made at the beginning of creation, and somehow then that transformed into the 10 commandments. Let's understand what that means. So first of all, we have to know what the number 10 represents. The Maral tells us, we know our numerical system works by the unit of ones, then there's the tens, then there's the hundreds, right? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, then 10. And then this the tens, 10, 20, 30, and in the Aleph Beis, there is no number 11. There is no number 12. Right? It's Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dal, Til, Yud. Yud is the top. Yud maxes out. And then starts Yud, Chav, Lamed, until the hundreds. So Yud represents an idea of Shleimus, an idea of completion, of perfection in something. Because it's the end of that group, it's the end of that unit. Indeed, the Gemara Menachos tells us, how did Hashem create the worlds? Hashem created 2 worlds. Ki beka Hashem tzur olamim. Hashem fashioned worlds with ka, with the name of Hashem, which is Yud and Hey. 2 worlds. There's olam haba, which He created with Yud, the number 10, the letter Yud. And olam hazeh, He created with the letter Hey. Actually, says the Maral, what's the letter Hey? The letter Hey is really a Dalet with a Yud. The Dalet represents its expanding to the width, expanding to the length. And then that middle is really the corridor to get to the Yud, to the Olam Haba. Okay. So 10, in anything that we see in creation, and we'll see, we'll try to get to many of them tonight, represents a completion in that thing. Asara Dairis me Adam and Noach. There were 10 generations from Adam until Noach, until finally we sort of kaviyachal angered Hashem enough that He brought a flood and destroyed all of humanity. But it took 10 generations because that was a sort of a completion of the breakdown of civilization in what Hashem had intended it to be, and therefore Hashem destroyed the world. And then it took another 10 generations to finally build up and get that person, Avram Avinu, Asara Dairis me Noach ad Avram. Oh, I now have a perfect person. I now have a person who can continue and build the world through his children. How many tests did Avraham Avinu go through? Of course, the number 10. And that the Sfarim tell us that every Jew really goes through 10 different tests. A test is to bring out the potential in a person. And if a person is to be here in this world to become perfect, as Avraham Avinu was, and we his descendants, so then we need 10 trials and tribulations to go through in order to bring out the perfection that is within each one of us. The Zohar tells us in Sefer Vayikra that actually the Asara Ma'amaris, the 10 statements of Hashem, connect directly to the Asara Sadibris. And it goes deliberately through each one of how each one of the 10 statements in the beginning of creation connect to the one of the 10 commandments. But from the Chiddush Harim, perhaps he's going with this thought as well, but he's just taking it, maybe making it a little bit easier for us, and making that extra connection, not directly from the Ten Statements to the Ten Commandments, but going through the Ten Plagues first, and then making that connection and making that transition. If you look at the papers here, this handout, this is the beginning of the Torah, Parshas Bereishis, chapter 1, verse 1, and it goes through the 6 days of creation over here. And the as the Mishnah says, there are 10 ma'amaros. Let's go through the 10 ma'amaros. Where are they? If you look at Pasuk Gimel, that's number 1. Hashem said, there should be light. On day number 2, Hashem said, that's the second. Day number 3 has 2, that's 4. Day number 4 has 1, that's 5. The fifth day has another one. Hashem said the water. That's number 6. And on the sixth day, we have another 3. And that's a total of... it's 9, right? A total of 9. Says the Gemara, there's only 9 Vayomers. If you read Vayomer Hashem, there's only 9, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, yes, you missed one. Bereishis is also a mimer. In the beginning, Hashem created. The Gemara says, Bereishis is also a statement. Okay? Now, if 10 statements, I would say, make them all Vayomer. Right? And if you want to make it colorful, so then use a different word. But why 9 and 1? And why can't Bereishis be a Vayomer? Vayomer Hashem, it should be Shemayim Baris. Why is Bereishis different? And what makes that different than the other 9? That obviously has to be explained. Okay, we'll get back to these papers in a moment. We mentioned the Mishnah, that Hashem created the world in Asara Ma'amaros, 10 statements. The Mishnah says you could have done it with 1. Why do you do it with 10? In order to punish the wicked and give due reward to the righteous. Says the Or Gedal Yor of Gedal Yeshua, he says what that means is like this. And we'll explain it also with something that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes about the first pasuk in the Chumash Bereishis, Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ves HaAretz. That pasuk is not creation. That's the heading of everything that's going to happen from here on in. We know that before Hashem existed, there was nothing. Absolutely nothing. What Hashem created is Yesh Me'ayin. Ex nihilo. Something that it was only for one split second Hashem did, and after that point in time, it was creations from something. The word Bereishis, when Hashem said Bereishis, He created everything. And then from that point on, He then sort of developed it in many stages from what was already created. Bereishis bara Elokim es haShamayim ves haAretz. That's not what Hashem created. Hashem created everything in the heavens and in the earth. It's something that we can't even relate to, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And then starts the creation of haAretz. Now there was earth, and Hashem made it Tayyav Avayu. That also was a creation. It was utter chaos. That was a creation of Hashem. Bereishis represents the creation from nothing to having something. Once Hashem now first created something, now He then creates and develops it further from that point on. Says the Or Gedal Yor, if Hashem would have just created the world with Bereishis and said Bereishis and everything should come to be, he said then everybody who would come into this world and be created afterwards would be so clear and it's understood that Hashem created the world, that Hashem runs the world, that Hashem manages the world. There is nothing else in the world that exists except for Hashem. And Hashem says, but that's not why I want to create people. I want to create people that they should have the free choice to choose if they see me or not. So Hashem says, after that first Bereishis, which was that blitz, which is a creation, Yesh Me'ayin, and Hashem now created something, Hashem's now, I'm going to develop it further in a very complicated way. And each one of the next 9 statements was another layer, blocking Hashem out. Hashem said Bereishis, and it was clear as day to see Hashem. Hashem is Hashem Echad. No question about it. Hashem says, now I'm going to use the next nine to develop creation further to hide myself within creation. You know, sometimes you go to a museum when they have this display that's all connected with chains and mechanisms and wires, but it's all in a glass case. And you could see how everything works. Wow, that's so cool. But they have other displays where you take then blankets or paint and you cover it all up. So you just see parts of it. And you have to figure out, hey, you know, there must be something behind it, controlling it, and this control, all leading back to one central energy that's providing energy for that whole display. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. That's Bereishis, and then after that, Vayomer, Vayomer, for the nine next statements. And this now gives opportunity for a person to either deny Hashem's existence, deny that He's controlling everything, deny that He sees everything, and that's the Rasha who's Ma'abed HaSa'ilim, he destroys himself. And this was a world that was created for the person to have free choice. And the Tzaddik, who sees through it all, who sees through the facade and says, I'm always cognizant that Hashem is here, indeed hiding behind so many layers, and therefore fulfills His will all the time, will be get schar tov la tzaddikim ha-mekayim in ha-sa'olam shenivra b'asara ma'amaris, that was created in such a fashion, that was created in a way that Hashem hides behind it all and we're able to find Him. That's the Asara Ma'amaris, his 10 statements. Now we know in the Hebrew language there's a difference between the word Amira, a saying, and the word Vayidaber. Now in the Torah we have it dozens and dozens of times. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lema, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Vayomer Shalom Avram, Vayidaber. Why sometimes Vayidaber, why sometimes Vayomer? What's the difference? So Chazal tell us, Vayomer is a softer expression. The Amira, it has a softer connotation. And Vayidaber is when someone is speaking sternly or harshly. That's the difference between Vayomer and Vayidaber. If you put it in different terms, Vayomer is a whisper. And Vayidaber is shouting. If that's the case, what Rabbi Gedalia Shur is saying is that if Hashem would have only created the world with Bereishis, that would have been as if Hashem all the time, when He's Mechadesh B'tuvay B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis, when Hashem renews the world every day, if He would renew it in the same fashion and if He first created that first moment, it would be as if Hashem is shouting into our ear, I'm here, I'm creating. I am the Bayre Yumanig L'chol Abruim V'Osev V'Osev V'Yasel Chol Amaisim. But Hashem didn't want that. So Hashem says, I'm whispering it. I'm whispering it. And if you could hear me, and if you could listen closely, then you'll hear me. That's what Hashem wanted to do. And that's why, yes, Bereishis a week would have been clear, but it's so loud. But Hashem wanted to whisper it. I want to make it a Vayomer, Vayomer, Vayomer. I want to whisper it, and then those who will want to listen will then be able to listen. Let's go back. We'll go a little bit deeper into this concept. We'll go back to last week's Parsha, Parshas Vo'era. The first pasuk of the Parsha, very strange pasuk. Vayedaber Elohim El Moshe. Vayomer, I love Ani Hashem. In one pasuk, you have Vayidaber and Vayomer. What's going on? I mean, did he speak to him? Did he say to him? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer, I love Ani Hashem. What's going on? So really, Rashi, if you develop what Rashi is saying, he says because right in the previous parsha, in the parsha Shemais, Moshe Rabbeinu had two questions, or one complaint and one question for Hashem. Number one is, Lama Hari Yosef Lama Zeh, why are you doing this to these people? You know, since I came on the scene, things only got worse. Why are you doing this? Hashem says, complaining to me, that's not allowed. Vayedaber Elohim. Hashem says, you'll have to stand judgment about that. Hashem says, I'm talking to you very sternly right now. And then your other question is, Hashem, why did you send me? I don't get my mission. What am I supposed to be doing over here? Oh, Vayomer Hashem. Hashem says, no, Vayomer Elohim, Ani Hashem. Don't worry, I'm Hashem. I am the one who has a plan over here, and keep going on your mission. This is a little bit of encouragement, a pat on the back, sort of. We continue. Va'era, Hashem says, and I appeared El Avraham, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, Bekel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, my name Hashem, lo neidati lohem. I never was known to them. Also not simple pasuk to understand. What does that mean? Hashem says, I appeared to the patriarchs, Bekel Shakai, with my name Shin Dalad Yud. Ushmi Hashem, but the name Yudke Vavke, that name, I never appeared to them. And Rashi cites different places where he appeared as Shakai to the Avos. So what does that mean? So the first place where, in Parshas Lech Lecha actually, where Hashem comes to Avram, the pasuk says, Vayera Hashem al Avram, he was yet Avram at that time, Vayemer elav ani kel Shakai. I am Kel Shakai. That's the way Hashem introduced Himself to Avram. Rashi says the following on that pasuk. What does Ani Kel Shakai mean? What does the name Shakai represent? Shin Dalad Yud. Shin Dalad Yud is one of the names of Hashem. But it could also be read, not Shakai, but Shedai. Okay, as a prefix and then the word. Shedai. Shedai what? Rashi says like this, Anihu sheyesh dai be'elokusi l'chol birya. There's enough about me, there's enough of elokusi, there's enough of my godliness in the world for every person. And therefore, lefika chisalek lefanai, go before me, ve'eyeh l'chol elokal l'patrein, and I will be as a God to you, and I will be almost as a companion to you. What does this mean? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov related to Hashem just through his manifestation in the creation. That we know, the famous Medrash, Ben Gimel Shana Hikar Avram is Bayrei. Avram Avinu was 3 years old and he looked down to the world. He says, how could it be that everyone's talking to these statues and bowing down to the sun? They don't get it. Look at this magnificent world. It has to be there's a creator. There has to be someone who created this world. He saw the godliness in all of the world. He saw Shaddai Belukusi L'chol Birya. Avram Avinu saw there's enough godliness in the world to be able to see Hashem and connect to Hashem and understand that Hashem is creating and controlling everything. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, they related to me Bekel Shakai. Vo'era, I appeared to them only Bekel Shakai. I only displayed my creation. That's it. I never gave them great rewards. I promised them things in the future for the generations. They never saw it. They never inherited Eretz Yisrael. It will be for their children. They never saw great nations come out of them. It will be in the future. There was enough for them, my name Shakai. Shaddai Belukusi L'chol Birya. For them, it was enough the godliness that there is in the world, that was sufficient for the others. Vo'er I appeared al Avram Yitzchak Bekel Shakai. Shmi Hashem, my name Yudke Vavke, that name, they didn't even know that. But Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Hashem, those are the others, HaKadoshim. That's Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. But you're dealing with Jews, millions of Jews who have been slaves, who have been strangers in this foreign land for the last 210 years. Hashem, they don't get it like that. They don't get the name Kel Shakai. You need to display more. You need to give them a better understanding of who you are. Hashem says, I grant your request. You're right. Perhaps it's unfair. Perhaps it's unfair for these downtrodden people to be able to see through all the facade and understand that there were 10 statements within the creation, each of them hiding myself from mankind and for them to find me. And perhaps it's too difficult for them. And Hashem says, you're right. For the patriarchs, it was enough just to whisper. I said, Vayomer, 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 and they heard everything. They had supersonic hearing. They got it. They understood everything. But for the downtrodden people who have a hard time just lifting their heads up from the work that they were doing, they don't hear it. Hashem says to them, I have to shout. How am I going to shout? I'm going to shout that I created everything. And I'm going to show them step by step. I'm going to reincarnate the Asara Ma'amarus through the 10 plagues. Because each plague that I bring, this is what the Chiddush Yerim was saying, I will peel off a layer and they will see clearly that it is me who does everything. If we just give an overview before we do this one by one, just an overview of the 10 makas. Why 10? Because it showed Hashem is in full control of all the waters in the world, and Hashem is in control of all the sea creatures in the world, because when He says, come out now on dry land, they come out. And every insect that crawls on the face of this earth, Hashem says, I control them all, because when I want them all to be in one location, they all come. And certainly all the wild beasts, I control them, because if I want them to come from Antarctica, and I want the kangaroos to come from Australia, right? And all the giraffes in the world, when I say move, they run. Hashem says, that's because I created all of those beasts. And the domesticated animals, I'm in full control of them, because when I want a plague of pestilence to come, they're gone in a day. And who controls all of the weather, even all those snow days that we complain about? Hashem says, when I want hail to come, it will come. And on and on. And who makes the vegetation grow, and who makes the trees bear fruit? And when I don't want it to happen, I make the locusts come and eat it up. And who makes it light and dark? Hashem says, I do. And who is in control of life and death? And once again, it's only Hashem. But the Maharal takes it even further and a little bit deeper. I apologize so late at night to do something so deep, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Let's go to this handout over here. And get an appreciation of the way the Maharal sees how each one of the plagues corresponds, and like we're saying, reveals another aspect, another one of the 10 statements when Hashem created the world. The first makkah is dam. First makkah is dam, blood. Okay? Says the Maharal, that corresponds to the last statement. Go to day number 6. Go to day number 6, and what does it say in Pusik? Chavtes, Pasuk 29. Hashem says, behold, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, and every tree that has seed-bearing fruit, it shall be to you for food. What happens with the food that we eat? Scientifically, we know it turns into our bloodstream. And Hashem says, that was my creation. I said, here's all the food for you to eat. And you don't appreciate that. You want to see that that's my doing? I will take something and show you that a life source of Egypt, which is the Nile River, which irrigates all of the food, the fields to give food, I will turn that into blood to give you a glimpse of that creation. The second one of the plagues was Tzvardeya, the frogs swarming all over Egypt and all of the homes and the people in Egypt. And go to day number 5. From day number 5, the fifth day, what does it say here? Hashem says, the water shall teem with swarms of living creatures. And all of the water that I said, all the creatures that should now go into the water, Hashem says, now you'll see, as soon as I say, okay, now come out of the water. Is that not a proof that I'm in full control when I want to put them there and want to take them out? And that's a display of that creation on day number 5. The third makkah, the third plague was Kinim. Hashem turned all of the earth into lice. What earth? Which part of the earth? And says the Maharal, go to the third day. From the third day, Pasuk 9, Hashem says, the waters under the heaven shall be gathered to one place, and dry land shall be seen. Before that time, there was water all over the place. And Hashem says, I gather in the water, yukavu amayim, and what's left is then land which is inhabitable, land which is then can be planted upon. And all of that land, which became the dry land, now Hashem says, I now turn all of that dry land into the lice that you'll be walking on. Hashem says, all of that dry land that I created then will be turned into now into lice. The wild beast, that's almost a no-brainer. The fourth plague, and that is the Arei of the wild beast. If you go to the sixth day of creation, Hashem says, the earth, Pasuk 24, Hashem says, the earth shall bring forth particular species of living creatures, particular species of livestock, of land animals and beasts of the earth. And Hashem says, that's when I created them. And I say, go do your work, go sing the glory to Hashem. When Hashem says, and now I need your glory to do something else. I gave you different locations to be in, different environments, different climates to be in. And now Hashem says, I need you all to come and converge on one land, and that's of Egypt. And stay here on a vacation for 3 weeks straight and wreak havoc amongst the Egyptian people. Plague number 5 is Dever, and that's the epidemic pestilence that killed all of the domesticated animals that had not been taken into the homes. And here Maral tells us like this, if you go to the fourth day of creation, Hashem says there shall be lights in the heavenly sky to divide between day and night. They shall serve as omens and define festival days and years. And here he says that the way Hashem made the plague of pestilence happen was that he sort of rearranged the constellation. He rearranged where the sun and the position of the sun and the moon and the stars were, and therefore that brought chaos to the domesticated animals and then killed them. A little bit harder to understand. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu had to explain that morale to them at the time. Number six, Barad, the Makkah of hail. And you go to the second day, Pasuk 6, there shall be a sky in the middle of the water, and it shall divide between water and water. Hashem made a sky, Hashem made a heaven. Where did the hail come from? It didn't come from Australia, and it didn't come from Antarctica, and it didn't come from the waters, and it didn't come from the ground. It came from Shemayim. Hashem says, I created Shemayim, and here, the Shemayim that I created will now send down. What will it send down? It will send down balls of water and fire. That's the hail. And that's what Hashem made the heavens to separate between the waters. We go to the seventh Makkah, and that is Arba. It begins our Parsha, Parsha's Boy, the last three plagues. Makkah's Arba. What is Arba? Arba is the locust. And you go to day number 3. Pasuk 11, Hashem says, the earth shall send forth vegetation. Seed-bearing plants and fruit trees that produce their own kinds of fruits with the seeds shall be on the earth. And so it happened. Hashem says, these are all the vegetation and the trees. And Hashem says, and when I want it to go, when I want it to be consumed by a plague of locusts, so shall it happen also. And Hashem is saying, I'm peeling back, I'm revealing to you, who was doing this creation? Who created this in the first place? If I can manipulate all of them, isn't that the biggest proof that I created all of them? And we go finally to Makas Choshech. And that also is a pretty simple giveaway. What does that correspond to? Exactly. Day number 1, Hashem says, there shall be light. And what's the proof that there shall be light? Because when I shut off the lights for 6 days straight, Hashem says, that proves that I want it to be light, there's light. And when I want it to be dark, it's dark. And Hashem says, you weren't there when I first created light, when I said, Vayarem Hashem Yehi Or, there should be light. You weren't there. And you didn't get this whisper. And I understand that. Hashem says, I'm going to show one time for all times. Look, it's clear that it's me who does it. And I do it all the time. I'm a Chadish B'tuva B'chol Yom Tamin Ma'aseh Bereishis. But here, during the 10 plagues, I'm going to lift back the curtain for a moment. And you will see me. And you will see the display of Hashem's Asara Ma'amaras. And finally, Makas Bechereis, that Maral says, refers to, there's only one left on the list. That's Bereishis. And just as Bereishis created something from nothing, what is the something that Hashem created? He created all of life force. He created the world. And Hashem in an instant took away life from the firstborn. And He took from something and He made it nothing. And He took from a person who's full of life and He made it nothing. Rachis is also the firstborn. It's called Rachis Aine, the first strength. And this too, Bereishis, corresponds to that. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked that Hashem, we need you sometimes to shout to us. Sometimes a whisper is not enough for certain people. And Hashem says, I'm going to grant your request. And here's the 10 plagues. And the 10 plagues now gave us an understanding. It gave us a shout of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the world in Asara Ma'amaris. And now we understand. Now when Hashem closes the curtain again, Now we have to know that he's behind it because I saw him. I saw him there. I saw when he took away the curtain. So now I see when everything is done. Of course I see that it's Hashem who's behind it. Let's go one step further, a little bit deeper. Every day we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That statement, what that statement is, we wake up every morning, we say, Hashem, you're Echad. Echad means, not Hashem is one, not split into two. Echad means, there is nothing else that exists except Hashem. Anything that we see, anything that is only Hashem and His will that it be. Hashem Echad is the statement, is the proclamation. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is the only thing that exists in the world. And Hashem willed it to be, and therefore there's this and there's that. But the ultimate is that there is nothing except Hashem. That's when we shout it out. But the truth of the matter is, explains Rav Chaim Volozhin, the truth of the matter is that we're not always on that level. And we have to relate to Hashem that actually there is a world and we view ourselves as real people. And what do we say then? We say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus L'Olam Vod. Kavod Malchus, a Malchus, he's a king. He's a king who has subjects. There's nothing else that exists. It's only Echad. Nothing else exists Hashem, except Hashem. If you say that there's a king, that means other people exist. Other subjects exist. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus actually is lowering it down, if you will. Right? But nonetheless, that's how we have to relate to Hashem. We have to relate to Hashem that we are in this world, that He is our King, and we're trying to find Him, we're trying to do His will that was created in these 10 statements. So we say Shema Yisrael, we scream it out, that's Bekol Ram, Hashem, you're Echad, that's clear, that's veracious. And how do we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei? We say that in a whisper. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei L'Nevoed. We know it's not the same, it's not your greatest glory. But we're saying it anyways because this is the way we have to relate to you, Hashem. We say Baruch Shem because that's the way we have to relate to you. We don't only have Bereshis, but every morning we proclaim, Hashem, you're Echad. But after that, we say Baruch Shem. And then at night again, we say, Hashem, you're Echad. You know what? The day wasn't so good. I was not always cognizant of your Echad, Hashem. But I'm going to resolve it once again and proclaim to myself again, Hashem, you're Echad. Before we get to the Aseres Hadibros, the third step, it's also an interesting thing. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what do? We close our eyes. We cover our eyes. What are we doing? And we say Baruch Shem, we open them again. And that's out loud, and that's a whisper. What are we doing? There's a There was an episode that happens in this week's parsha. It's very famous, but if you think about it, how profound it is. In one sense, a catastrophe, but certainly very profound. During the ninth Makkah, during the ninth plague, the plague of darkness, something catastrophic happened. What was that? Rashi says, why was it that Hashem made it dark? For 3 days it was a thick darkness, and then another 3 days where it was so dark no one could move from their place. And Rashi says there were two reasons why Hashem made particularly this Makkah, this plague, and in the intensity that it was. What are the two reasons? Rashi says one reason is because 4/5 of the Jews, were told in Parashas B'Shalach, 4/5 of the Jews never merited leaving Mitzrayim. And Hashem says, but I don't want them to die during, let's say, the plague of boils, where all the Egyptians will say, look at that, the Jews also being smitten. You see, we're not so bad. After all, they're also being, there's no difference. Hashem didn't want that to happen. Hashem didn't want that those Jews who couldn't leave would be struck with a hailstorm, and they would die like that, as it happened to the Egyptians. They say, oh look, the Jews are dying also. So while all the lights were out, while it was Choshech, while it was darkness, Hashem says, this is the time that those 4/5, we're talking about somewhere between 8 and 12 million Jews, who died during this time, and never merited leaving Egypt. So bizarre. Why did they not merit leaving Egypt? And Rashi says a very interesting statement, and we'll explain what it means based on the words of Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Rashi says, these Rishonim didn't want to leave. They didn't have a will to leave Egypt. Now that's very strange. I mean, you were there the last 210 years. You had two centuries slavery in Egypt. You don't want to leave? What does that mean you don't want to leave? They don't want to leave? We need to understand that. On the other side, what's the second reason why Hashem made days of darkness? So it's also a very interesting thing, is that during the days of darkness, so there were Jews that went around to the homes of the Egyptians, right? And they went around with a tablet and started marking, probably, you know, taking pictures of all the places. Oh, you know, these are a nice pair of earrings that this Egyptian woman has. That's a very nice goblet I would use for for when guests come over. That's a very nice expensive watch. And they took stock of all the Egyptians' gold and silver, because this was part of Hashem's plan, that when they leave, I want them to borrow, long-term loan, the gold and silver vessels. And a few, this is already the plague of darkness. You're talking about only a couple of weeks later, where they will be leaving, and they would go to the Egyptians and say, oh, you know what, do you mind if I borrow a goblet? And the person, oh, well, I don't have a goblet. It's funny, if you look behind your shelf over there, and he would just take out his tablet and show him, look, this is it, I have proof. And one shot is that they were so impressed that we didn't steal and loot all of their things, or they, at that point, they couldn't really deny it, so they gave it to us. Very interesting setup over here of what's going on. So you have the plague of darkness. One reason is because Hashem wants to have 4/5 of the Jews perish in the plague of darkness. And then the other fifth will say that for them, they had light wherever they went. So we have to understand, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Jews the first time, he told them, I have 4 expressions of redemption. Hashem says, He will save you. V'hitzesi, He will take you out of the burden. V'hitzalti, He will rescue you from all of this hard labor. V'go'alti, He will redeem you with a strong hand, the 10 plagues. And then there's a fourth. V'lokachti, and He will take you. V'lokachti eschem li la'om v'hisi lochem le'lokim. Hashem says, I will take you to Me as a nation, and I will be your king, and you will be My people. You can't take 3 out of 4. Anyone who was going to leave Egypt had to know, we already saw, we stopped working. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu came on the scene about 10 months earlier, we weren't working anymore. As a matter of fact, we were watching the display of all of our taskmasters and all the Egyptians who had been oppressing us this last, probably between 80 and 120 years of real back-working, back-breaking labor and oppressiveness. And now we're watching them being smitten by Hashem and Hashem turning their country into utter chaos, and Hashem killing their livestock and destroying their produce and making them suffer. You know what? For the last 10 months we've been watching this, and we're okay with Vahitzesi, Hashem will take us out. We're okay Vahitzalti, Hashem rescued us. We're also okay Vigo'alti, Hashem, I love watching the 10 plagues. This is great. But then Vilokachti, Hashem says, there's one more thing that you have to be willing to do. You're going to have to come and now be My nation. Right after this, we're going straight to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. Right after this, you have to be a people that's ready and willing to change. And you know what? These people didn't want to change. People don't like picking themselves up and changing and being somebody else. And they said, what, I have to now be somebody totally different? I was born in Egypt, raised in Egypt. This is who I am. I can't change myself. I should now be somebody else. I should be now all of a sudden a servant of Hashem, and He's going to give me all these different laws that I have. I can't do that. Hashem says, no, but that's part of the condition. It's all 4 expressions of redemption. And the fourth one you have to accept also, V'lakachti eschem li la'om v'yisi lechem le'lekim. These people, lo'yei ritzeinim lotzeis, they didn't want to go out. They says, I can't trust myself that I'm going to be able to change into something that Hashem expects of me. And Hashem says, if you're in the darkness, I give you these, and I gave you the last 10 months, but now you have the final 3 days to decide. Are you someone who's willing to then accept Me as the king? If yes, you'll be going around, and in the darkness, you will see light. Wherever there's chayshah, whatever there's darkness, for them, there was light. U'lechol b'nei Yisrael, for those who were looking, ha'ya'or b'mayishvaysam. In all of the dwelling places, there was light. Hashem says, you can be a Jew who even in the darkness sees light. Or you can be a Jew who says, you know what, in this darkness, I'll never get out of this darkness. This is where I am. I was born into this, born with this. I have a bad temper. That's the way I am. I'm lazy. That's the way I am. I can't change. Don't expect me to be somebody else. This is who I am. Oh, you want to see darkness? Hashem says, you'll never get out of darkness. Tzfasemis writes somewhere else. He says, and Rapinka says the same idea. He says, every Jew lives in Mitzrayim. So long as we're in Golas, we are in our own Mitzrayim. And Hashem says, you can get out of your Mitzrayim. What do you need? You need the willpower. You know why they didn't get out of Mitzrayim, those people? Because lo hayu ritzeinim, they didn't want to. They didn't will to get out. Hashem says, if you want to get out of your Mitzrayim, very simple. Hashem says, I'm ready to take you out, I'm ready to rescue you, I'm ready to redeem you. But you have to be willing to say, okay, I'm ready to change. Hashem says, you're ready to change? You'll be out of this darkness in a moment. If all you want to see is darkness, then this whole world is darkness. The Gemara says, Toshes Choshech Vihi Loila. We said it today in Baruch Hinashi, in Rosh Chodesh, we say this. Toshes Choshech Vihi Loila. Hashem brings darkness, and this is night. What does that mean, says the Gemara? Zu Olam Hazeh. That's Daim El Laila. This refers to this world. This world is really what? Is really darkness. In other words, what we see is not the real thing. That's why when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what do? We block out the whole world. When we want to remind ourselves that there's only one being in this world that exists, it's only Hashem, Hashem is Echad, we block out all of the darkness. Now we're making darkness for ourselves, we're blocking out darkness. And we're saying, we have to block out everything that looks dark to me. And then when you close the eyes, your eyes, that's the biggest light that you have. By understanding Hashem Echad, that's light within the darkness. And then when we get that shout, when we get that shout, that's voracious, then we say, Baruch Shem Kufay Malchusay. Now let's get on with the task at hand. Let's get on with our job. Basara Mamaras, we have to look through each one of those curtains, each one of those barriers. We could see right through it now. And those people that were ready to leave, Hashem says, now you're ready to accept the Torah. Now Hashem says, now that you saw me peel away one layer after the next, and you saw that I was the one who was in creation, and I'm still the one who creates and controls, now that you saw that through the 10 plagues, now Hashem says, now you're ready to get the Aseres HaDibreis. Dibreis is vayedaber, that's strong, that's rigid, that's firm. Hashem says, now take the Torah, and the word daber also, the Zohar tells us, comes from the Lashon of dabor, which is a leader, a guide. Hashem says, the Zohar says this, v'dibarta bam, you should speak in it, in words of Torah, it says, v'dibarta bam, it should be your guide. Hashem says, now you're ready, after you saw my manifestation of the 10 plagues, which now you got a glimpse back into what the patriarchs understood, just from my godliness of the world, Shaddai Balakusi Lachalberia. Now you saw it with your own eyes, you heard it with your own ears, you heard me shout in Mitzrayim. Now you're ready to take on the Torah. Now you're ready to have a leader. Aseres HaDibreis, this will be about your Dabar. This will be your guide, this will be your leader. Hashem says, I am in the Torah. Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, Anoichi Nimra says, I put myself in the Torah. That's the way you're going to see me now. Until then, it was only the godliness in the world. You had to be someone great. You had to be on the level of the patriarchs. For us, the Jews in Mitzrayim, us in Mitzrayim, we need a little shout every once in a while. Then they had the 10 plagues. We can gain strength from that. For us, we shout out every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We shout out, that we proclaim that we know is Hashem is Echad. And after that, we can take it in a whisper, and we can try to also listen with the whisper of Baruch Shem Kaved Malchusay, Lo'olam Vo'ed. This is our purpose in the world. Now this is what the Torah is. The Torah is our guide. The Torah is the Aseres HaDibreis. Once Hashem manifested Himself through the 10 plagues and displayed and revealed the 10 utterances of creation, Hashem says, now you're ready to accept. Those who were ready to accept, the 1/5 of Bnei Yisrael, now you're ready to accept the 10 commandments, the Aseres HaDibreis. That's the Torah, and that's the 5 books of the Torah. The Torah is here to guide our life. And in conclusion, just to bring out the beauty of the number 10, when a Jew lives his life in this way, accepting the Torah should be our guide. The Torah should prove to us that actually we can be different, we can change, we can get a better understanding, and each day that we are able to grow, we can get a greater understanding and be more cognizant of Hashem, then our whole life can be a praise to Hashem. We have an interesting book that parallels the book of Torah. The book of Torah, the book of Moshe Rabbeinu, was 5 books. There's another Sefer which is 5 books. What is that? The book of Tehillim. Tehillim is also divided up into 5 books. The Medrash tells us that David HaMelech starts his book with Ashrei. It's the same place that Moshe Rabbeinu ended his book, which is Ashrecha Yisrael. It's a continuation. What does it mean, it's a continuation? The 5 books of Moshe Rabbeinu is, this is what you're supposed to do. And if we do it right, then our whole life becomes a Tehillah, comes a praise, which is Tehillim, comes a praise to Hashem. Interesting trivia question. How many authors were there that composed Tehillim? Was it only David HaMelech? David HaMelech, it's true, gathered all of them and composed them. But actually, how many people? The first Rashi in Sefer Tehillim tells us it was 10 people. It was 10 people. It was Adam and Avram and Malki Tzedek and Asaf, like a Mizmor LaAsaf, and Moshe and David and the 3 sons of Korach. And Rashi also tells us in Tehillim that there were 10 different expressions of song that David HaMelech used in Tehillim. Lamnatseach and Nigun and Mizmar and Shir and Hallel and Tfilah and Bracha and Noidah and Ashrei and Alleluka. Because if a person lives their life with the Aseres HaDibris to help us penetrate and understand the Asara Ma'amaros, then his whole life becomes a Tehillim. His whole life becomes one long praise of Hashem. And we see this also very starkly in the last chapter of Tehillim. The last chapter of Tehillim is the last of the Hallelukas that we say in Psuka de Zimra. It's Halleluka, Hallelu Kel Bekadshai, Hallelu Berki Uzai, Hallelu Begvray Sav, Hallelu Gvray Guvlai, Hallelu Besek HaShayfar. And indeed, how many times is it Halleluhus? 10. And Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Ruach Chaim that this corresponds to the Asara Ma'amaris. It takes us back full circle. Because if a person does live his life that way, and he takes an instrument that has 10 strings, like a Nevel Osar, an instrument that has 10 strings, and each of those strings is to play a different note. When Hashem gives us wealth, when Hashem gives us poverty, when Hashem gives us health, when Hashem makes us sick. And David HaMelech had it all. He had everything. He was a pauper, and he was a king, and he was a wealthy person, and he was someone that was hated, and he was neglected, and he was liked, and he went through everything. And he says, and this is my praise to you, Hashem. And I manifest it in 10 different ways. And I use 10 expressions of praise. And I use an instrument that has 10 strings. And I praise you, Hashem, with 10 hallelukas. Because if a person lives his life this way, by indeed every day trying to proclaim, Hashem is Echad, that's voracious. And then that will help me then say the Baruch Shem and understand and hear even the whispers of Hashem. And hear the Asara Ma'amaris of Hashem. That will then be the biggest praise to Hashem, then a person will be living his whole life as a praise to Hashem. With every waking moment that a person has, with every understanding that a person has of Hashem's Echad, that's praising Hashem. We're furthering it, saying, Hashem, you're Echad, Hashem, Halleluka, Hashem, Halleluka, Hashem, Halleluka. That's the 10 expressions of praise that we can give Hashem as well. Agun Chedesh.